Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. And then at 10:15, we've got Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And stay tuned at 11 for the bike show today, bringing you news and views of cycling in Portland and elsewhere. And we'll get to that at 11 o'clock. For now, here comes Air Cascadia.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, December 6, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, your whistleblower radio, and your fake news radio. We're absolutely all over fake news here at KBOO. The Hey Duke Lives station. And of course, we want to take a moment to thank all of you who participated in our recent membership drive. Those who became new members, welcome, welcome, welcome. Those who are renewing members, always, always welcome. Those who listened or volunteered in any way, shape, or form, we are all one community. And though we are so various, so different, so many points of view, all together in one united undertaking. And we have many jobs to accomplish, and there's a lot of room for more resistance. So we have just that to mention. Thanks to all of you for making the membership drive happen. And briefly, weather: sunny and a highs around 46. East wind 14 to 20. It's going to gust up to 31 miles an hour, much higher, of course, in my place. And tonight it's clear, lows around 33. And breezy doesn't even begin to touch it. Wind 17 to 22 miles an hour, gusting up to 37. There goes the Widowmakers high up in those big Douglas firs over the roof. And for tomorrow, sunny skies, highs near 45. And northeast wind 18 to 20 once again. Same thing for tomorrow night, clear skies, cold temps. That's it for your weather for the next couple of days. And before we get on to other matters, and wow, there's plenty of other matters here. The Utah, the giveaway of public lands to timber interests and mining interests is unprecedented, and it has prompted days of protest, and will continue to. Into the foreseeable future, of course. Our guest today, I have a question that I want to put to our guest today that so far I have not heard mentioned. Our guest, of course, is very, very fortunate to welcome John Quigley to the KBOO Airwaves to Air Cascadia. John is a former Secretary of the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection. He's been nominated by the Penn State Governor Tom Wolf and confirmed June 2015. He's served as Secretary on the Conservation Natural Resources, and in every way, shape, or form, has been a constant, consistent, and unstoppable defender of the environment. And he's here today. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on, though, with the situation in, what should we call it, in Palestine, in Israel. I really want to look at this, because people are in a state of shock and are reeling from Donald Trump's announcement that he was going to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. This has been, this point has been bandied about for years. Every new incoming president, this has lifted its ugly head above political waters and then sunk back. But this is time around. Donald Trump actually is going to offer a little payback to some of his most massive donors. Good morning, John. Thanks for being with us.
Yes. Good morning.
So this is of course, he made this promise. No one really thought that this was going to be that he was going to follow through. There's still ways out of it, but it's definitely at a time when very delicate balance of power it's certainly got the attention of the entire world. Do you want to just briefly explain to our listeners why it's so important, why the location of the U.S. embassy there is such a touchy business?
Well, the city is claimed by Israel. It came into possession of the eastern part of the city in 1967 by an aggressive war, and it is in a status of what's called belligerent occupation of that territory, and under international law, you can't claim sovereignty over territory that you've taken through belligerent occupation. So Israel has made the claim, but the international community has uniformly rejected that claim, including the United States. It's not clear to me exactly what Mr. Trump is going to say, whether he's going to say something that relates to both halves of Jerusalem. But the international consensus has been that the situation of Jerusalem in its entirety is one that is supposed to be negotiated. That's been the basis of the unsuccessful efforts so far over the last 20 years at negotiation. And Trump seems to be putting the United States on Israel's side of the argument, which would seem to make it very difficult for the United States to take a role in any kind of negotiated settlement.
As if to be trusted in any case. I want to just make one quick clarification because I have a bio from a second guest that somehow got inserted in here when I was introducing you. Just so listeners know that my guest, John Quigley, who is the Professor Emeritus of International Law at Ohio State University. My apologies for that. I've been really kind of blown away by this Trump announcement, and it is difficult to review the entire history of this part of the world, recent history, and try to understand how anyone, even Donald Trump, could take this potentially catastrophic step at this particular time, even by the simplest analysis, it is such an unthinkable thing to do. But you just said, though, about this. Clearly, it's a political move, and it's payback. And what would have prompted, do you think, Donald Trump to make this announcement now, and how seriously can we take this? Because there are ways out of this. It clearly has legal implications as well as political. So, can you tell us a little bit more about some of the connections under the surface of the announcement.
Yes, I suppose one can speculate about that. And in one sense, it may not mean very much, because what Donald Trump says one day isn't what he necessarily means the following day. So he could come out with another statement next week saying, I didn't really mean it, or, explaining it away in some fashion. So that's a possibility. So it may mean very little. On the other hand, the fact that he's saying it, even if he doesn't mean it, and even if he goes back on it, is likely to have very significant consequences. I mean, Jerusalem is considered a very important issue in that part of the world, not only as between Israel and Palestine, but throughout that entire region. So it's not surprising that the United States State Department is calling for increased protection at all of its consulates and embassies. I wouldn't want to be in one of those consulates or embassies today or over in the next period of time. And if I were a recruiter for ISIL, I would be delighted with this announcement. I would be, posting videos of Trump on the ISIL internet sites. So in that sense, it does have very negative consequences, even if Trump doesn't know what he's doing and he's just saying this, to make Sheldon Adelson happy and give him more money for the next campaign and perhaps to make the evangelical community happy for the next campaign. So, even if it's nothing more than that, it has very negative consequences. I mean, as for the peace process, I suppose he can go back on it and he can say, that's my view of it, but that isn't necessarily what the parties have to come up with, and let's go ahead and negotiate. But it is a remarkable turn of events in terms of U.S. policy and the fact that no countries have their embassies in Jerusalem, which is an indication of the strength of concern over this issue. So, the United States may simply be putting itself out as an outlier. I mean, I think Europe already has written Trump off as somebody that can't be dealt with, and this will be further reason for them to think that, and which may have a lot of consequences for issues unrelated to the Middle East. But even going back to when the United Nations was formed and when Israel established itself, the concern was that if Israel were to claim Jerusalem, that this would be so negative to the Arab side as to make any peace impossible. In particular, when Israel was applying for membership in the United Nations in 1949, it was questioned very strenuously about the Jerusalem issue. And Abba Ibn, who was the representative of Israel at the time at the United Nations, was at pains to say, no, we will not claim the city of Jerusalem to be our capital. We understand that it has an international character. And it was on that basis that Israel was admitted to membership in the United Nations. Even though at that time they were already moving offices from Tel Aviv into Jerusalem, and they were being quizzed about that at the United Nations.
It's like two people, both of whom cheat at poker, playing each other. One thing, though, the other variable in this equation would be the American Jewish community, apart from the hardcore APEC. Their voices count as well, although it seems more and more that it's money that counts more than... Money is a lot louder than most voices these days. But the American Jewish community at large, the activists, the different people from all different socioeconomic backgrounds, what have you heard thus far, although it's early to say, about their agreement or displeasure or what have you?
Well, I don't have the best read on that subject, but I think it's a rather varied response, that while there may be in general an inclination to say that Jerusalem should be part of Israel, at the same time there's a desire to have some kind of peaceful outcome, and I think there is a widespread understanding that there's got to be some kind of solution for Jerusalem other than Israel just taking it over.
Thank you so much for that. I mean, so appreciate you coming on the show today. My guest has been John Quigley, and joining us as a professor emeritus of international law at Ohio State University. There's all kinds of books that include the statehood of Palestine, international law in the Middle East conflict, and the international diplomacy of Israel's frontiers, deception at the United Nations in the quest for Palestine, and many more. So thanks once again. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, December 6, 2017. Engineering for us this morning, Tammy Dean.